You are listening to an iFanboy special edition podcast, The Incredible Hulk. Welcome to a special edition of the iFanboy podcast. We're here to talk about the movie The Incredible Hulk, which opened up this weekend. I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
And I'm not Josh.
No, you're not. Who are you?
But I can do voices, though. See, I can do these crazy English voices like that, you know? So I'm Paul. I'm a new columnist for iFanboy.
Look at the rookie coming in with the voices.
He's Josh. So pissed at me. He sent me an email saying, don't do voices.
Nice. Good call.
So. Josh is away, so we had Paul come in. Paul's one of our new writers at ifanboy.com, who's one of our new weekly columnists. You should check his work out. It's great stuff. So he's sitting in. Thank you for joining us, Paul.
Yes.
Hulkamaniacs.
And if you head over to ifanboy.com, that's where we talk about comic books. And normally we do our weekly pick of the week audio podcast where we talk about the comics that came out. But whenever a movie comes out, we like to get together and talk about it after we've seen it. And Incredible Hulk opened this weekend. And so, you know, we probably should talk about it, you know, because it's based on one of the most popular Marvel characters. Well, not popular, but well-known Marvel characters.
Seminole.
Yeah, Seminole. Yeah. Does anybody actually like the Hulk?
I like the Hulk. I don't like him, like, in a book. Yeah. I like him to show up, you know, in a book.
I think everybody has the potential to like the Hulk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's something primal, but let's get to that in a second. Basically, what we have here is it Louis Leterrier? Is he French?
Sounds like it.
Yeah, he's the director of the new film. In 2003, you had to much fanfare indie film darling Ang Lee's Hulk, which hit and was very much a mixed bag in terms of critical and box office reception. Majority of fans, I think it's fair to say, really just comic fans disliked the movie. Yeah. Critics were very mixed on it. It didn't do very well box office wise. It did okay, but certainly not the numbers they were expecting coming off Spider-Man and X-Men.
For what it's worth, I liked that movie.
They've rebooted with the series, but I really was a big fan of Hulk. It was in my top five superhero movies. I don't know if it still is. I should probably revisit that list.
I think it's probably all different now. But the big problem with that movie, I thought the first two-thirds of it were really good, you know, even with the Hulk dogs and things like that. But the end of the movie is what lost it for me, and it got really weird. And yeah.
Well, funnily enough, in preparation for the show, I rewatched it a couple nights ago, and rewatching on DVD, the ending made perfect sense.
Oh, really? Okay, interesting.
Like, I was able to linearly follow the fight and what from stage to stage. I don't know why. I mean, it's not traditional, but what happened made sense.
Okay.
So I don't know if that makes any sense at all. But so now we got the reboot. Louis Leterrier, who did the Transporter films, right? He was that guy.
Maybe. I love the Transporter.
Yes. Yep.
And Edward Norton as Bruce Banner, and Liv Tyler as Betty Ross, and William Hurt as Thunderbolt Ross, and what's his name? Tim Roth as Emil Blonsky. That was basically the cast.
Yep.
Impressions going into the film, I think, were very tentative.
I think out of the five comic book movies that are coming out this summer, this was the one that was flagged as the one to be worried about.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot had to do with the fact that I thought the trailers that were released were terrible.
Yeah.
I thought they put in a lot of special effects that were apparently unfinished, which is bad for a special effects movie because you don't want that to be the impression that it looks terrible. It didn't give much beyond the fact that there was a big animated Hulk fighting a big animated abomination, and there wasn't much beyond that in the trailers. And I thought, from a marketing standpoint, it was a big blunder. Because if you go to ifanboy.com, if you're on our forums, you see a lot of people were not running out to see this movie on opening weekend. They were waiting for reaction. They were not convinced that they needed to see it. They didn't want to sit through another bad Hulk movie.
Yeah.
So that was a blunder, I think, on Marvel Studios' part.
And I think that that definitely – I mean, I saw it at 10 o'clock – at a 10 o'clock showing on a Friday night in San Francisco at one of the main theaters, and the theater was not full. Like there were empty seats everywhere. But also one of the points of concern for me was the fact that Ed Norton, the director, Louis Leterrier, whatever, and Marvel Studios were in disagreement about the final cut, to the point where Ed Norton was so dissatisfied with it, he felt that it should be longer, that he refused to do any press in the support of the movie. So right off the bat, that's a huge like red flag. That's like, oh, if the lead actor isn't supporting the movie, then geez, what are they going to do? You know?
Paul, what were you thinking going in?
A lot of that. I think the big thing with the marketing is that they were really too concerned to distance it from the previous Hulk film. They were trying to say, oh, this is a big action thing, and it so it just looked like it's a video game, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's an all-out slugfest. So, but then going into it, there I think in pre in you know recent days, there's been some good buzz about it. So I was like, okay, well let's see what it's like and give it a chance. So.
The buzz swung wildly from this is going to be terrible when people saw the trailers to going into the when I saw it a couple of days before, people were like, wow, this is better than Iron Man. And I was like, wow, how did that happen? So didn't know what to expect when it happened. So let's talk about it. When it, Ron and I saw it together, and then I saw it again later, a couple of days later.
Yep.
And I really was surprised how much I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I think that's I had the same feeling. Was that coming out of it? I thought I was engaged. I was on the edge of my seat at times. In terms of the comparison to Iron Man, I don't think it was better than Iron Man. I don't even know if it was as good as Iron Man, but it came very very close.
We're all on the same page. Green thumbs up on this one.
Awesome.
It's a fun film.
Yeah.
I think.
Mm-hmm. I think they got a lot of it right. I think what happened was is that so basically just to look at the movie, like, we'll talk about what we thought was good and what was bad. What cracked me up was the opening sequence. I thought was one of the best opening sequence of the Marvel movies in a while. I can't tell you how sick I am of the computer animation, you know, spider webs or going into jeans and whatever. And when the opening of this started, I thought that's what they're gonna do because we saw like green blood cells and stuff like that. But basically, the first like 4 minutes of the movie is this opening sequence recapping a movie that looked like a recapping of a movie that didn't happen. Like this felt like a sequel to me because they showed you the in snapshots and quick shots how Banner got, you know, basically the origin of the Hulk and what happened and the conflict between him and General Ross and all that kind of stuff. And it got that out of the way. So this isn't an origin film at all.
No, he's already been the Hulk for
5 years.
5 years.
Yeah, yeah. He's been on the run, and so I thought that was really well done and elegantly done. The opening sequence has him has Banner living in Brazil
which was beautifully shot.
Was amazing. Yes. I thought that was one of the highlights of the film. The first third of the movie, the scene in Brazil was just awesome. It was so good.
I don't know if it's beautifully shot. It's just the scenery was beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. No, I thought the scenery was beautiful, but I also thought the sequences and what happened and the action and all that kind of stuff. I thought it was a great way to start the movie. It was great. So.
And I think that was a really interesting choice to put it in Brazil. And like you're expecting like you know Tibet or something, which is normally what they do for that kind of thing. He wants to be all zen and get peaceful and work on his anger management problems out in the middle of nowhere. But it's funny that he ends up in this super highly populated area, which seems like a really dangerous place for the Hulk to be.
Yeah.
With all these buildings and all these people around. It's a lot of collateral damage.
Yeah. and which is interesting also because if you look at the end of the Ang Lee movie, it ended with Eric Bana, who played the Banner in like South America, just trying to, you know, get lost in the world. So like I felt as if, you know, while these are two separate movies, you could piece them together if you wanted to, but
no, I had the same reaction rewatching on the DVD. It was almost like the Ang Lee film took place in the credits, and then then this was almost a sequel.
Yeah,
I mean it's not. I mean clearly it's not, but it's you could if you really wanted to make it in your head a sequel, you could figure out a way to do it.
Yeah,
it's that make your own continuity thing that you're always talking about.
Yeah, totally.
You have to set it up for yourself.
Yep, exactly. So the opening scene, the Brazil scene, was great. I thought the way they handled his first transformation into the Hulk, where he's kind of in the shadows, you don't really see him, and you get glimmers and glimpses and stuff like that, was really good. You know,
so the story is basically it's the same old thing, which is almost a problem with the Hulk, is that he's on the run from the military. They track him down in Brazil. There's a fight with Emil Blonsky, who is the special forces guy, who's played by Tim Roth, and. It leads to the Hulk on the run again or Bruce Banner on the run again to find the data on his transformation because he's been communicating with mysterious Mr. Blue, which was a plot device straight out of the Bruce Jones first year run on Hulk, which was actually very, very good, where he was anonymously emailing somebody who had codenamed Mr. He was Mr. Green. I think Mr. Blue was in the comic too. But
yeah,
so he's on the run to get his data, then eventually meet up with Mr. Blue and try to find a cure for the Hulk. Basically, it's the same Hulk plot.
Yeah, I mean we were talking about that after we saw it the first time. Was that the problem with the Hulk is that you really only get one kind of movie out of him? You get Hulk on the run from the army,
you know? Trying to find a cure. That's basically what. And then other than that, you have to have him interacting with other characters.
Like we're never gonna get Mr. Fix-It Hulk movie. We're never gonna get Pantheon Hulk movie. You know what I mean? Like it's pretty much always just the leave me alone. And so that's good though, but that's okay because this is well done. So
yeah. So then maybe Oblonsky eventually ends up. Oh, we should spoiler warning everything. I guess we didn't do that in the beginning.
Oh yeah, spoiler warning. We're gonna spoil it. So
yeah, Emil Blonsky ends up taking the Hulk serum combination with the Super Soldier serum, and then it becomes the Abomination. That's basically the plot of the film.
Yeah,
I thought there was basically three big set pieces. There was the Rio battle, there was the battle in Virginia, and then there was the battle in New York.
Yep.
And they get progressively better.
Really, because I thought the third was the most.
Yep.
Uninteresting.
I agree with you.
Interesting.
The third was the weakest, I thought.
Because you did kind of have the video game feel of two creatures who weren't there and there were no stakes. Like, whereas the Rio battle was scary and exciting, took place in the shadows. The second one had the most interesting fight, I thought, with all the different military technology and Blonsky as super soldier. Plus you had the Betty being in danger and you had collateral damage. Whereas the Harlem battle was kind of like, it looked really good in parts. It was exciting, but ultimately it was just kind of like, it didn't make a lot of sense. At the end, like I watched it twice, and by the end of the second one, I was like, "There's a lot of plot holes in this third battle."
Yeah,
you know, there's no reason.
Okay.
What happens after Blonsky wakes up?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah,
you know, like they just kind of left him laying there. He just stands up and starts wrecking havoc again because the Hulk is left. They have no way of controlling him. So I was kind of like, well, it was fun the first time. The second time, upon second viewing, I was kind of like, well, there's too many questions for this one. But it was not unexciting. I just liked it the least of the three. It's kind of like
that's interesting. There's a lot of great fanboy moments in that third one, though.
Sure.
Yeah, where the Hulk smash lands. That's really
Well, here's the deal. There was a lot of fanboy kind of nods, and if you didn't catch them all, which I hope you did, but there was when he's walking through Guatemala after the first transformation of the movie, and he's got his pants are all ripped, and he's homeless again. And they played the TV theme song music that we love, the piano.
That got laughed at both screenings.
Yeah, me too. Then when he's on the run and Betty Ross is helping him and she goes to get clothes and she gets a pair of stretchy purple pants and he kind of rejects them, and that's a bit of a nod to the audience there. And then there was the during the fight with the Abomination, he yells Hulk smash. My problem with the Hulk smash, though, was that I thought the delivery of the line was too delayed. There was too much of a pause between Hulk and smash, because he said Hulk smash, and it was just like, it should be just Hulk smash, you know, but that could be nitpicking. That could be me. But,
are you questioning a Lou Ferrigno line read?
Yeah, I am. Lou Ferrigno had a cameo in it, and he did he spoke as the Hulk.
Yes. I liked Hulk speaking.
Yeah.
I like when Hulk speaks. I don't want him to speak too much like in the old Stanley Kirby books, but I like when he does talk. One thing I noticed upon second viewing, which I thought was a really nice touch, was – first time around, I was like, well, something is weird about Edward Norton.
Yeah.
Something was weird about the way he looks. And I figured it out was he was always wearing really big pants.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is a nice touch. He wore really big pants, and he had them cinched around his waist tightly.
Yeah.
So that if he were to Hulk out, he would have pants on. And I didn't catch that the first time, but the second time,
that's a good observation.
I noticed he was always walking around, and he had – because you can tell when someone's wearing pants that are too big for them, and they're just cinched tightly.
Yeah.
And that was – if you look, that's he's always wearing pants too big for him. And people are always like, how does Hulk wear pants? Well, that's why, because he's wearing – pants, and in this version the Hulk isn't 35 feet tall, it's only about 12 feet tall, so if you get huge pants, he's
and when he's in Guatemala, he asks for the woman for the stretchy pants, he's like, you know, for elastic pants. But the one thing about the fanboy moments I just wanted to finish up mentioning was that somebody I saw the movie with the other night said that, and this is as a comic fan, was that the fanboy moments kind of pulled her out of the movie. In that she, it was enjoyable having a good time, but then when, you know, as soon as I heard the Hulk music or the purple pants joke, it's like, oh, well, come on, you know, which I could see, which I think is specific towards people of our audience, but, you know, people, you know, like, you know, Joe Schmo isn't going to notice it at all. But I just thought that was interesting. When does it become too much pandering to the core crowd? You know,
it was also the thunderclap.
I love the thunderclap. The thunderclap was awesome
putting out the fire.
Yeah, totally. Yes. That was great. That was really good. And what was even cooler was so the Mr. Blue guy who he goes to get help from ends up getting, you know, Blonsky makes him inject him with more super soldier serum to turn him into the Abomination, and he gets knocked over and cracks his head open, and some of Banner's blood drips down into his head and onto his head, and you see his head start bulging, and there is your villain in the next movie, the Leader.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a nicely done, subtly done. You didn't need to know comics to get that. You know, it's going to be a kind of thing that's going to be referenced either in the next movie or maybe the Avengers movie.
Now, Paul, what did you think of that whole sequence?
The whole thing with Samuel Stearns and the Leader stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am not a big fan of that scene. That for me, if there's one big failing in the movie, I hated that scene.
Oh, really?
I really did not like it because it was so tonally different. I didn't like that guy. I really didn't like that performance, and I thought you could go two ways with it. It's because he doesn't match up for me with Ed Norton.
Yeah.
It's just a different tone. It's just funny. It's like they're trying to be funny. Either go really, really out there funny. Like I thought like Rainn Wilson might be cool as that part. Like go really over the top with it, or just match it up with the rest of the thing because it just
I think that
didn't work for me.
I think the movie needed some funny bits because it was getting. I like drama, but I think one of the complaints people had about the first film, and they totally went in the opposite direction, was that it was too dour. And the problem, and here you get into the problem comparing Iron Man to Hulk, which everyone's doing, and I don't really want to be doing that because why do you have to compare them? Why can't they both just be good?
Yeah.
Is that Tony Stark as a character is likable and funny and charming, and you want to be around him all the time. Whereas yeah. Bruce Banner as a main character is kind of dour and quiet, and he doesn't have
the hapless charisma. Kind of yeah.
He doesn't have the charisma that Tony Stark has. So you had to have something where people could laugh a little bit and sort of release the tension that was going on during the film.
You see, and that's the thing is that like I don't know if it's because I like Ed Norton a lot or if it's because I like what he was doing with Banner, but like I got the feeling that like he's not the same kind of charisma dynamic personality that Tony Stark or Robert Downey Jr. is, but like the scene when he was in the factory in Brazil when he's like a handy guy, he's like a janitor, and he fixes a piece of equipment for the boss, and that conversation, I thought he was very likable. Like
I love Norton. He's one of my favorite actors, and I liked him in this part a lot. I thought he was a perfect Bruce Banner. He looks like Bruce
he was
Banner.
Smart. Like when he put the glasses on and they were half on his eyes, and you see him working, and you like I felt as if he was a genius. You know, I felt as if that worked.
He even ran kind of like a nerdy scientist. Like he perfectly encapsulated for me Bruce Banner more than Eric Bana did. But still, he's a sad character. So you don't want to be sad for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Eventually, you have to laugh a little bit. And there was a little bit of humor that was kind of subtle throughout the film. But I think I didn't mind. I didn't mind Samuel Stearns, although I think the idea of Rainn Wilson playing him was an interesting one.
Yeah, look at the
– but just seeing him in like the blue shirt and then the blue cardigan, he's Mr. Blue.
Yeah.
Like, for me, like I didn't know where they were going with the whole Mr. Blue plot. Now, I'd heard that like Betty Ross is Mr. Blue in the comics. Like that's one thread that they've done. So I didn't know who
it was.
I didn't know who to expect in that.
Yeah, I got excited because I thought Mr. Blue was going to be Reed Richards.
Sure,
which would have been awesome.
I was like, is it Tony Stark? Is it Nick Fury? It's like, it could be anybody. And then it's that guy.
Yeah.
So,
but I liked it. I thought it was fun. I see your point there, but I thought he was just wacky enough. Like when they're talking about the procedure and he's trying to say how, we don't know what to expect, and he does the mime of flipping a coin and like, I don't know. Yeah, it was goofy, but it was at the right time and I thought it made me laugh and I don't know, enjoyed it. But so I don't know. So
to me this film felt even more than Iron Man felt like a movie that was placed in the Marvel universe.
Yes.
You know, like Iron Man was. You know, he had references to Shield and Nick Fury was there and stuff. But this film really felt like it was in the Marvel universe. This is the first time you're really seeing a movie, a movie representation of the comic books.
Yeah.
You know, this was. I was thinking about how to describe this movie versus the Ang Lee movie, and what I think I've come down to is. Ang Lee's Hulk is kind of like Tim Burton's Batman, as to Batman Begins is to Incredible Hulk, in that.
Interesting.
Batman Begins is more of a comic. It's not like exact like this movie is in terms of comic book references and being in the world, but it's more comic book Batman than Batman. Batman from Tim Burton was more of a psychological, very Tim Burton-y movie, whereas Ang Lee's Hulk was a very psychological, very Ang Lee film, whereas this Hulk was very much set. So I think that's the comparison I make in my head.
Cool.
And I like the fact that now we're seeing the Marvel Universe up there, and it's really cool. It's too bad we don't have access to Spider-Man and Fantastic Four and all that stuff to really put it all together.
Well, in time they will. I mean, the rights will get untangled, and you know they're fighting to get them. So, for Paul, the leader didn't work. For me, I thought the Abomination, not that it didn't work. I just thought it was typical kind of Hollywood overdoing it.
I didn't like the design of the Abomination.
Yeah, like I hate how they always want to make it like realistic, or like if he would grow, his ribs would go out of his body, and it's not that didn't do it for me. I'm torn on William Hurt as General Ross. I'm really torn, and I know Connor, this is a sticking point for you, but because they nailed that casting in the first movie, but I don't know whether he was good or not. I'm still, you know, I'm not
Paul,
sure.
Paul, how did you feel about the supporting cast?
For me, I think the strongest parts were like the main characters, and especially whenever the Hulk was on screen.
Yep.
That stuff was I loved every moment when the Hulk himself was on screen.
Yeah.
Other characters, other than, you know, Edward Norton and Liv Tyler's characters, not as much. I don't know. I think that they spent more time developing those main characters, whereas like you got the kids who caught the, you know, like on the cell phones, like, yeah, catching the campus battle.
Jack,
like,
McGee, another reference to the TV show.
Yep.
Right. And that's a little hokier, yeah, you know. And I think Mr. Blue falls into that as well. But,
well, I'll tell you about Liv Tyler. While I did enjoy her more in the second viewing of the movie, she's no Jennifer Connelly. Which is, you know, but I thought she said
I like Connelly much better than
yeah. But after seeing the movie a second time, I liked Tyler better. I liked her better this time around than the first time. But
I do agree with that generally. But I think they had pretty decent chemistry. I think.
Yeah. That's one of the things.
Although
they
were good together.
Yeah. So I'm wrestling with myself trying to understand why I think it wasn't as good as Iron Man, or not, you know, like if I'm giving Iron Man an A, I'm giving, you know, this a B+.
I think it's because it's that Iron Man is more fun. I mean, this was fun, yeah, but like, mm-hmm, Iron Man was like a party, you know, you wanted to be around Stark all the time. Stark was funny, he made you laugh, he was charismatic, he was also exciting, you know. It's like, for me, it was like the scene that really encapsulated Iron Man for me totally was the flying on the jet pullback, the strip club is happening on the jet scene. Like, that was Tony Stark. That was the movie. It was funny and irreverent and still true to form, whereas this didn't have a scene where, you know.
Well, the question is, what is that scene for the Hulk? I mean, honestly, I mean, it was probably the Brazil scene. It was the being chased and then get into a fight and trying to hold back the anger and then having the transformation happen. I mean that, and
well, no, what I mean is like that. It's because it's more fun for the audience to be at Iron Man than it is at Hulk.
Yeah,
that's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's why I think it's a little better, because it was a more you know you've come out of it laughing and having a good time. The Hulk was a really, really good movie. It's just different. It's a different movie. It's a different tone.
Yeah,
it's very interesting. Think about in Iron Man how little action there is actually in this Iron Man movie,
and how much action this one has,
and how much action is in this one, but the most entertaining moments in Iron Man almost aren't even the action sequences. Like, a lot of people say that third act, the battle with the Ironmonger, isn't as strong, but the character development moments and like the one you mentioned on the jet, like all that stuff that shouldn't be fun is really fun, because that's a really entertaining character. And I think it's just that Tony Stark is more entertaining to watch than
Banner.
Bruce Banner, right?
Yep.
Just by nature.
Although I love Bruce Banner. He's just, he's a, you know.
It's a different kind of character.
It's a good time to talk about the. Apparently, they learned their lesson from Iron Man and moved the post credit scene to the pre-credit roll, because
thank God, because those credits were an eternity. But everybody in my theater stayed until the end of the credits,
just in case.
Yeah, exactly.
Ron and I, when we saw it, we did the second time. I was like, "We're out of here. Nothing to see here, folks." Yeah.
But so the last scene has got a General Ross getting drunk at a bar after the failure of his experiments, everything going wrong, and then the door opens and in walks.
It's Tony, and both audiences I was at, you know, that was that's people love Tony Stark, because both audiences. There was not a cheer during the film as big as when Tony Stark walked in.
Yeah, there were cheers in the theater for Tony Stark when he walked in at the end, but there was also a cheer at the end of the third battle, the New York battle. People cheered at the Hulk smash line. So,
right,
but no, but when Tony Stark walks in, it was great. And then of course he just says, you know, hey, we're putting together a team, and then they go, you know, go to the credits, and they're built into something, which is both awesome and scary at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, as I was saying, after the film, is now they have to do it. I mean, they can't keep promising this team's coming.
Yeah,
and then not deliver. It's going to have to be tough. And I was thinking also, by the time we get to the Avengers movie, God, the above the line cost is going to be ridiculous between Edward Norton and Robert Downey Jr. and whoever plays Captain America. And, you know, mm-hmm. Ant Man is just going to be a really expensive film.
But it's going to be awesome though.
I also think really, I mean, as much as I said before, this is a movie in the Marvel Universe. It's really, really a movie in the Ultimate Marvel Universe.
Oh, no,
really
these movies, I realized that with this one is that these are the Ultimates, the Ultimate line of comics are these movies, are the basis for these movies. I mean, if you look at the Hulk, his origin is based in, you know, a combination of gamma radiation with the super soldier serum, you know, and that's different than the bomb and all that kind of stuff. Because actually the gamma bomb doesn't really work now, I guess. You know, you could make it work, but, you know, and then
combination of Ultimate Hulk and the TV Hulk.
Yep, totally. Yep, exactly. Mm. Iron Man a little less so, because I think the Iron Man origin can be altered to fit the time and still be relevant, and that's what they did. I think the Iron Man origin was more similar to the comics origin than the Ultimate Iron Man origin. Obviously,
yeah, but it's still kind of like Ultimate Tony. And if you ignore the Ultimate Iron Man book itself and just read Ultimates, it's really Ultimate Tony.
Yeah. So
I wonder if Brian Hitch will start drawing him now, like Robert Downey Jr. Oh, he's not drawing it anymore.
Yeah, he's on Fantastic Four.
There is the Ultimates book anymore.
Wait a minute, isn't there? I thought something that Loeb. And... I know.
ouch.
So thumbs up. I mean, it was a good movie. I mean, I've been telling people to go see it. So go see it.
Were you surprised to like it as much as you did?
I really did enjoy it. I mean, watching it, I would like to see it a second time, because the first time going through, I was, you know, I think it's like when you see these movies the first time, you're like, you're anxious more than anything. Yep. Like, is this going to suck? Is this going to be awesome? And I liked more than I didn't like, you know? So,
absolutely.
A Hulk smashing success.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. There was plot holes. There was stuff I didn't love, but on balance, I mean, I enjoyed it. I saw it twice and I enjoyed it both times. I had a really good time seeing it. So.
Awesome.
I don't have a problem saying this I'm talking now to the people on the website and the forum and listeners who thought maybe I shouldn't see this, because there's a surprising high amount I've seen. Go see Hulk. If you liked Iron Man, go see Hulk. It's a direct line from Iron Man to Hulk. It takes place in the same world. It's just the quality is high.
Yep.
They complement each other really well.
They do. And it came out so quickly after Iron Man that it would hurt it, but really it helps, because it does feel like you're reading the next issue of a book.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think what you don't get in Iron Man, you get in the Hulk, and maybe what you don't get in the Hulk, you already got in Iron Man. So having them there together is really nice, I think.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Awesome. So so be sure to head over to ifanboy.com where there's a post about the Hulk, and you can share what you thought of the movie and comment on this podcast. And people have been talking about it on the forums at revision3.com/ifanboy. So definitely a lot of buzz going into this movie and hopefully coming out of it. I'll be curious to see what the box office numbers look like. And then it looks
probably
like,
not as good as
yeah no yeah but I'm I wonder if it, I wonder if it will be if it will if what the second week looks like as word gets out about it. That's what I think. Yeah, exactly. And then
when's the next Marvel movie?
Next one is the end of this month. Well, not the next Marvel. We're done with Marvel movies this summer.
No, I mean when's the next continuation of this story is what, Captain America, I think.
I guess, yeah.
Thor,
maybe Thor. Punisher Warzone, maybe.
No. That's not a licensed Marvel Studios film.
I know. Kidding. But the next comic book movie coming up is in a couple of weeks, on the 27th of June, I think, is Wanted comes out. So we'll be right back here to tell you what we think of the adaptation of Mark Miller and J.G. Jones's.
We use the word adaptation loosely.
Yes. Man, I watched that trailer again and it was weird.
Hulk did $21 million on Friday.
That's not bad. That's gonna be a $60 million weekend.
Yeah, that's about what the first one did.
Yeah. So, well done. All right. So, until next time, I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
And I am Paul.
And I need to go find the piano music now.
Do 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 do.